وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنا أولى الناس بعيسى بن مريم في الأولى والآخرة. وقال عيسى عليه السلام يا ابن آدم الضعيف كن في اتق الله حيثما كنت وكن في الدنيا ضيفا واتخذ المساجد بيتا وعلم عينك البكاء وجسدك الصبر وكما قال عيسى عليه السلام. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. My dear sacred brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the blessing tawfiq for allowing us to come for this beautiful day of Jumu'ah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this beautiful day that He purify our hearts, He purify our intentions. He makes us from the people of Ahl al-Jannah. He allows all the Muslims all over the world that their Jumu'ah be accepted. And we may go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whatever problems we have in our life, Allah will give us solutions to them. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. So the winter break is coming up, and generally within this time we try to speak about the holiday of Christmas. And I've already spoken multiple times within this masjid, mashallah, about it. And I always stress this point about being careful of saying, you know, Merry Christmas, because the word itself is not, it doesn't have the right connotation. Right, so the word mass, right, which comes from Latin, is to show, to say someone's term is finished or time is finished, and usually use it for the time of a death of a person. So Christ, you know, Christmas, Christ mass, right? So that would be what, that it's the death of Christ, right? It's not something that we Muslims should be saying, right? We should not be saying this. And I really want to stress this one point for everyone here, that the topic of our khutbah today is about Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, not from the Christian narrative or perspective. What I'm finding here more and more is that whenever we speak about Musa alayhi salam, or Maryam alayhi salam, or Isa alayhi salam, or you know any prophet of the past, we often think that this is a Jewish prophet and a Christian prophet, which is very strange. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put this in the book of Allah, which is it's a Muslim book. Right? So I want everyone to remember first and foremost, and this is why I want people to have discussions at home. You know, they should talk about these stories with their children. A lot of our children don't even know any stories of any prophets. Of any prophets, let alone like even our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no prophets at all did they know any stories about. So what we need to do is, inshallah, educate. And so you know, we have all the time to teach them every Disney movie in the world. Ya Allah, you know, they'll know Mulan, Lion King, they'll know, you know, Cinderella and everything, right? And what did Mulan teach them? That you know, if your parents, you don't have to listen to your parents, just disobey them, right? If you get into a fight with your parents, just run away from home, right? It's a good lesson, right? Aladdin, same thing, right? If your parents don't want you to marry someone, just leave home. Like the lessons we're learning from these things are so like outrageous. If you just thought about the movie you're showing your child, you'd probably be like, maybe I shouldn't show them this. Versus what? Teaching them a very beautiful story, you know? And even, majority of these Disney movies don't even have, you know, the mother in them. There's no story about the mother in them. But when you look at the Quran, right, about the four stories about prophets, right, big stories about prophets and their families, what do you have? Like Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, and maybe you could say like Yusuf alayhi salam, right? You know, Ibrahim alayhi salam and Yusuf alayhi salam, stories about fathers. Right? Two stories about fathers, Ibrahim and Yusuf alayhi salam. And two stories about mothers, Musa alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam. You have beautiful stories in the Quran that we need to share with our children. The Nabi Isa alayhi salam is from the Ulul Azam. He's from the five greatest prophets Allah has ever sent into this dunya. They're Ulul Azam because why? Because number one is that they received a new scripture, a new book. Majority of them received a new scripture or a new book. And the second reason is that they came in opposition to the entire society, the entire civilization. Every single one of these prophets, from Nuh, from Ibrahim, from Musa, from Isa, from Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, each one of these prophets came to revolutionize the society of the time. Isa alayhi wa sallam is no different from any of them. He is a prophet from amongst the Anbiya alayhi wa sallam. He's our prophet. He's our prophet. That's why we need to learn about him, and we need to understand something about prophets. If anyone in this room were to hear that someone was speaking bad about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or to defame him, or disgrace him, or do something of blasphemy against him, I don't think any Muslim in their heart would ever feel okay with it. And even we would start shouting and yelling. But there's a better way to deal with these things, and I spoke about it in a different khutbah exactly how to do it. But the point is, what, everyone would be upset. But when they make a caricature about Isa alayhi salam, or they make a movie about him, no one gets frustrated. No one gets upset. No one cares if Netflix makes a movie about him or whatever. No one even cares. Well, it's just another, it's not even our, that's how we feel. It's not mine. But he is mine. He is mine. If there was a woman who was being attacked outside, and I said there was a sister being attacked, majority of the brothers would get up and go. Right? Try to go help this woman. If I told them it was your grandmother, you just run out right now, because what? The ghaira in our hearts. There's a feeling in the heart. What can we say about ghaira? It's a word that can't be translated in English because Americans don't even have it. Allah gives that tawfiq and hidayah. Isa is our prophet. We have to feel that about him. And one of the most biggest things that they said about him, of blasphemy, is what? That he's the son of God. No person of regular Islam, of regular Muslim, would ever want anyone to say they're the son of Allah. And a Nabi would never want it to be said about him. So how does this come up in the Quran? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he talks about it. And the second reason, first reason is what? He's our prophet. Second reason why he's so important to us is because he's returning. He's coming back. It's mentioned in the Tahawiyyah, a book which is so short in Aqidah. This one short book of Aqidah will mention that what? That the Nuzul of Isa alayhi salam is one of the Imaniyat, one of the things you and I have to believe in. The Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam is going to return. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised Isa alayhi salam five things. Ya Isa, inni mutawaffika wa rafi'uka ilay wa mutahhiruka min alladhina kafaru wa ja'ilu alladhina tabi'uka fawqa alladhina kafaru ila yawm al-qiyamah. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about these things to Isa alayhi salam. ثُمَّ إِلَيَّ مَرْجِعُكُمْ. Then this is the fifth one that Allah Ta'ala talks about. So the first two things Allah Ta'ala says, إِنِّي مُتْوَفِّيكَ وَرَافِعُكَ إِلَيْهِ. That I'm going to take you. I'm going to take you. The word tawaffa, just shifting slightly to academics, just a little bit, just to speak about it, because people misunderstand this. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to, if he wanted to say he died, he would have just said, مُمِيتُكَ. I killed you, I took your life. Mumit would have been enough. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says mutawaffi. It's a different word. It's a different word, has a different connotation. It fits in line with the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Hassan al-Basri radiallahu anhu. It says, "Inna Isa alayhi salam lam yamut, wa inna sayyirju qabla yom al-qiyama ila dunya." Or, as alayhi salatu wasalam. The hadith of Ibn Hibban says the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that Isa alayhi salam did not die on the cross. He did not die. Allah Ta'ala will return him to this world again. It's a hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The word tawaffi is a unique word in Arabic. You can use it for when a person is, Allah Ta'ala says, Allahu alladhi yatawaffa al-anfus hina mawtiha wa allati lam tamut fi manamiha. Allah Ta'ala takes people, he makes tawaffi of people when they die, and he makes tawaffi of people when they sleep. When people go to sleep, Allah Ta'ala takes a portion of the ruh up. Allah Ta'ala takes a portion of the soul up. Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala calls that tawaffi. Another usage of tawaffi is what? When I say your time is done, when you're finished with work, I say tawaffaita, you finished, you completed your work. إِنِّي مُتَوَفِّيكَ means your position as the Rasul has been done. Your term is up. Like the president has been finished, you have been done. مُتَوَفِّيك, you're taken up now. وَرَافِيُكَ إِلَيْهِ, and I'm raising you to me. If Allah Ta'ala was talking about a status, some people think it's about a status. If it was status, يَدْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتِ. If Allah Ta'ala wanted to talk about status, he wouldn't use إِلَى. In other places in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says when he wants to raise people in status, he doesn't say إِلَى, to me. Meaning what? Physically, Allah is going to raise them up. So what does this mean? Mutawaffi means Allah takes his soul. Rafi'uka ilayya means Allah takes his body. Both soul and body goes up, Isa alayhi salam. He's taken up because why? Because the people of his time, which were Muslims originally, then they became kafir. The people of his time did what? They said, Inna qatalna al-Masih Isa ibn Maryam. They all said that we killed Isa alayhi salam. They all want to brag about the fact that they killed Isa alayhi salam. And the other people of his time said, Isa is the son of God who died on the cross. Everyone wants to say that he died there. So Allah Ta'ala said, I saved him from those things. Where does it come up? وَمُطَهِّرُكَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. I'm going to purify you from what they say. One people, they disgraced him by saying, we killed him.
Another people disgraced him by saying that he's the Son of God who died on the cross. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we purified him. I'm going to purify you so they can never say such things. Now in the time of the Prophet Isa alayhi salam, this didn't happen where there was only a small group of people who did it. Who are the people that Allah ta'ala made Isa alayhi salam pure through? It's because of you and I here. This is the ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is showing how Isa alayhi salam is supposed to be understood. That's why you and I are important. That's when you and I on the Day of Judgment will come and say, Isa alayhi salam was not the Son of God. We have a vital position, the position of a witness. In a court case, when you bring, when the evidence is sought, they ask for a witness. On Qiyamah, when people say that he was the Son of God, Allah will bring the ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, no, he was not the Son of God. This is why you and I are important. وَجَاعِلُ الَّذِينَ تَبْعُوكَ فَوْقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. So this is why this part of this ayah is so interesting. And we will make those who follow you above those who disbelieve till the Day of Judgment. We'll make those who follow you. It's not referring to Isa alayhi salam's own people of his time. Because if anyone knows what happened to his own disciples and what happened to their own community, the original Christians, they were slaughtered, they were massacred, they were abused, they were killed, they were persecuted in many different ways and areas. Which ummah was the ummah that will be above the kafirin? It's ummah Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَجَاعِلُ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوكَ. And the interesting word about ittaba'a, and I explained it before in another khutbah, ittaba'a means like literally following footstep by footstep. Because why? Because the ummah of the Prophet will literally follow Isa alayhi salam when he comes back down. That when Dajjal comes onto this world, and he's going to bring his entire army, Isa alayhi salam will come back down and fight the army of Dajjal, which will have, and he will have an army too. It will be the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah says, I will make those who follow you above those who disbelieve. Right before the Day of Judgment. This is the beautiful part. And this is something amazing about Isa alayhi salam. He is the contrast of Dajjal. Everything Dajjal is, he's the exact opposite. Whereas Dajjal is about materialism, Isa alayhi salam is about spirituality. Whereas Dajjal is about looking at the world now, Isa alayhi salam is about looking into the future, into the hereafter. Everything about Isa alayhi salam is so unique. Dajjal has one eye, means he can't see depth. He can't see, you know, what's close and what's far is not, he can't recognize these things. So everything is just what? Everything is just here and now. But Isa alayhi salam is always looking into the future. And what does Dajjal do? Dajjal gives him tons of stuff. When you look at the army of Dajjal, there is like, when it comes to the time of the Mahdi, when he goes and fights him, the army is huge. And the Mahdi radiallahu anhu's army is about 1200 or so. You look at the army, it's like a million versus 1200. And so in our minds we think, because the material is more, it must be greater. But what Isa alayhi salam shows is what? When he was born, he says, وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتِ. Allah Ta'ala gave me barakah wherever I go. Barakah is what? When you have a little bit of stuff, but it's a lot. When you have a little bit of stuff, but it has a lot of impact in the world. Allah Ta'ala shows it with the armies of Dajjal and the armies of Isa alayhi salam. Dajjal has a million people, but they have no benefit whatsoever. Isa alayhi salam comes out with 1200 people. So much barakah in his army, he's able to take out the entire army. This is what Allah is just giving us samples. I'm just giving you a little bit. I haven't even went past Quran. There's so much that Allah talks about. But what's really important is what? The story of the Quran is not about, okay, this is a Christian thing. Or it's a Jewish thing. No, there were Muslims of his time. Of Isa alayhi salam's time. The Muslims of his time were people who were engrossed in a lot of haram activities. They used the Torah of their time. They used their divine book. They used their holy book of their time. To make riba halal. To take the money of people. And they used it for what? To gain status and fame in the world. They used their religion for that. They use all these things and they became extremely material and materialistic in what? That they were just looking at dunya. How can we get more wealth? How can we get more money? How can we live longer in this world? That's all they were about. So what happens is this man comes. This man named Isa alayhi salam, and his word, Yesu'a, which is what? It means savior. He's a savior. And then for us too, the Masih is someone who's anointed, who's appointed by Allah. The Masih is someone who will come at the end of times. When we say Christ, right, that means the appointed one. The one who was chosen by God. He was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we believe it too. And he is the savior. He's going to save us from Dajjal. It's all in our scriptures as well. Isa alayhi salam, he comes. A man wearing a robe. Just one child around. You know, and he has his pants above his ankles. He's wearing sandals. And yet, mashallah, you know, whenever you look at the pictures of Jesus, right, they draw him in like, ajeeb ways. You're like, man, he was a man of the desert. You know, he was in the Middle East. His color should not be like that. La ilaha illallah. Right? They and you and I should be. If anyone drew the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our hearts would be inflamed. But someone draws Isa alayhi salam, not a big deal. And they draw Maryam alayhi salam in wrong ways too. Any self-respecting, pious, muttaqiyah Muslimah would make sure her hair is covered at every single time. And if she doesn't cover, she at least knows she should cover. They draw Maryam alayhi salam like she barely wears her hijab. La ilaha illallah. Isa alayhi salam would be walking around with his head covered, which was the sunnah of the Anbiya alayhi salam. When people say that Nabi alayhi salam was copying Abu Jahl, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, we should be very careful about our words. Nabi alayhi salam didn't come here to copy kuffar. He doesn't copy the kafirin. Who was Abu Jahl copying? Abu Jahl was copying Ismail alayhi salam. The community was built on a Nabi, right? So they had the clothing of a Nabi alayhi salam. When Umar radiallahu anhu sent a message out to the various tribes, he sent out a message. He said to them, Amma ba'd, fattaziru, wartadu. And he goes and says, Wanta'ilu, warma'u bil khifaf. And then he goes and says, Wa alaykum bin ibasi abikum Ismail alayhi salam. He goes and says, Umar radiallahu anhu says, make sure you wear the longi, make sure you wear the izab, make sure you wear your cloaks. Make sure you wear sandals and you wear khuf. He's telling about libas. He's telling about clothing. He says, and make sure you wear the clothing of your father Ismail alayhi salam. People think that the sunnah is to copy the people of the time. It's never that. The sunnah is what? To copy the anbiya alayhi salam. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayah. Isa alayhi salam comes. A man who's, you know, the rabbis of their time is wearing like the, you know, they're studded out, right, with the Prada and whatever they're wearing, like the Gucci, whatever. And they're wearing so fancy clothes. Comes a simple man, comes into their gatherings. And he comes with what? People think the miracle of Isa alayhi salam is that he only could revive the dead. That's only one of his miracles. The other miracle is what? He knew the Torah by heart. Anywhere they needed it quoted, he could quote it. Anything they needed as a verse, he can give the verse. Whatever they needed, he could present it in front of them. But he had no teacher of the Torah. He had no rabbi who taught him. He had no one to give him the education. Where did this come from? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he comes to them, and he would go and tell them. His disciples would be working on Saturday. They were poor. So they would work on the grain, and break open the grain and eat it. Right? And then they would say, it's haram to work on Saturdays, because the Sabbath is on this day. They would tell him that. He said, no, didn't it come in so-and-so book, in so-and-so Bible verse? I'm sorry, in so-and-so Torah verse? That Dawood alayhi salam said this, this, and this. And he said that you're not allowed to plow the earth. They're not plowing right now. He's just opening it for food. You know, he would quote them and they would have to shut up. They would completely become silent. Because he could quote them whatever they needed verbatim, subhanAllah. Isa would come up to them and he would shut them down. He would say, Oh, Rasulan ila bani Israel, Anni qad ji'tukum bi ayatin min rabbikum. I came with a beautiful sign from your Lord. Anni akhluqu lakum min at-tayri kahay'ati at-tayri fa'anfukhu fihi fayakunu tayran bi idhnillah. He said, he makes a clay doll in front of them. He makes a clay doll in front of them. And then he would shape it like a bird. And then he would say, Bismillah, with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you blow on it. Fa'anfukhu fihi fayakunu tayran bi idhnillah. And then he would let it go and start flying. Right, he would show that from non-living to living, it's in the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then what else could he do? وَأُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى بِأُكْمِ الْأَبْرَهَ أَكْمَهَ وَالْأَبْرَسَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ He could cure the blind and he could cure the leper with the permission of Allah. And he could أُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ And he could revive the dead with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he goes through these stages. One is that he can bring things from non-living to living. The same way you and I were never living before, Allah brought us into life. And then he can revive the dead after it being dead. Same way you and I, after this life, will be revived in the next life. وَأُنَبِّيُكُمْ بِمَا تَدَّخِرُونَ وَمَا تَأْخُرُونَ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ بِمَا تَأْكُلُونَ وَمَا تَدَّخِرُونَ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ And he can inform them what they're having in their houses and what they're storing in their houses. What they're eating, what they're storing. Same way on Qiyamah, Allah will bring us back and he will inform us what we used to do. He gives them the entire life in just three beautiful signs of his own. What was the important thing about him reviving the dead though? What was the important thing about him reviving the dead? Majority of the cases, whenever you revive the dead will come up back alive. For example, one woman, she was crying, said, Oh Isa, my so-and-so daughter, she passed away. Isa said, I can revive her with the permission of Allah. He prays two rakats, he makes dua to Allah, and he goes to the body, and he says, Qum bi-idhnillah, stand with the permission of Allah. And then the body will come back to life. And when the body will come back, the girl goes, speaks to her mother and says, Oh mother, why'd you make me come back into this world? She said, why'd you make me come back? Couldn't you just be patient and expect your reward from Allah? I have to face death twice now because of you. Allahu Akbar. People think that he's just reviving for reviving. No. When he revived Sam, the son of Nuh alayhi salam, when he got revived, he goes and says, am I going to have to face death twice? He said, half my hair became gray because of the fact that I was fearing that I was going to meet Allah and he brought me back again. Now I have to taste death again. He's not reviving just because of reviving. He's reviving to make a point here. That to these people who are all about material, why is he telling about what's happening in their houses? Because they're eating haram, they're drinking haram, they're storing haram in their houses. They're completely scared of Isa alayhi salam because now he can tell everyone that they're doing haram in their houses. Isa alayhi salam has this mu'jiza, this miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is this pertinent? Why is this important to us as Muslims today? Because we have the same exact cases. We have the same exact cases where people are doing haram. They're taking the Quran and Sunnah and manipulating the verses to make halal whatever is haram. They're doing the same exact thing. That they're involved with what? They want to have pride. They want to have the material. They want to have the world. They want to have the dunya. Everything they want is in whatever they want is in this world. So Isaism came to do what? You have to take away all of that. You have to take away all of that. You need to come towards what? The realization that one day I'm going to die. This is the hardest part for everyone here. That no one wants to do it. You look at the message of Isa alayhi salam, it's almost like the message of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a beautiful hadith, he said, I am the closest of all prophets, of all mankind, to Isa alayhi salam. I am the closest of all mankind to Isa alayhi salam. And you find that, Isa alayhi salam's statements, for example, in the Kitab al-Zuhd of Ibn Mubarak, it says, that Isa alayhi salam used to tell his people, he tells his followers, make sure you never speak too long without the zikr of Allah. Make sure you don't speak too long without the zikr of Allah. Make sure that you're always mentioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would say, Ya ibn al-Adam al-da'if, O the weak son of Adam, be in the fear of Allah ta'ala wherever you are. Ittaqillah haythma kunt. Ukun fi dunya daifa. And make sure you know that you're only a guest in this world. Wattakhid al-masajid al-bayta. Make sure you take the houses of Allah, the masajid as your real homes. Stay in the masjid of Allah, live in the masjid of Allah, be in the masjid of Allah. He said, make sure, وَعَلِّمْ عَيْنَكَ الْبُكَى. Teach your eyes to cry. وَجَسَكَ الصَّبَرْ. Make sure you teach your bodies to be patient. He's just a Nabi from the Anbiya alayhi wa sallam, same exact thing. Had such yaqeen and tawakkul. They said, oh Isa, how could you walk on the water? How could you walk on the water? He goes and says, I have yaqeen in Allah, I trust Allah, that I have conviction in Allah. They said, we have yaqeen too, we have a conviction too. Isa alayhi salam said, what do you think about gold? What do you think about clay? And what do you think about stones? Do they have any difference in value to you? They said, yes, they do have a difference in value. He said, for me, I know that Allah can do the same with gold, silver, and clay. Gold, stone, and clay. Everything Allah can do the same. My yaqeen is different from your yaqeen. He would tell them, اِعْمَلُوا لِلَّهِ وَلَا تَعْمَلُوا لِبُطُونِكُمْ. Work for Allah, don't work for your stomachs. He tell you, work for Allah, don't work for your stomachs. Exact hadith of Isa alayhi salam is what? He said, when someone asked him, who's a good friend? He said, the one that when he speaks, increases your knowledge. When you look at him, you remember Allah. And what? When he does his a'mal, his good deeds, you think of the hereafter. Exact words of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, because they come from the same source. He says, we'll come with all the spirituality, all this ruhaniyah. What we're missing today, what were we missing today? What is this entire speech about? It's the fact that he's ruhullah. He's the spirit, he's the spirituality, he's the spirit of the soul of the deen. That what we're missing here is what? That we don't have the spirit or soul anymore. If I ask people, what are they doing when they're praying? Up and down, touch the ground. They don't even remember what they're doing. People don't even remember why they're praying. People don't know why they're doing zakah. Why go for Umrah and Hajj? We're only doing to brag to other people that we're doing these things. We don't have anything anymore. We're only helping the masjid because we want people to look at us. We're only growing our beard because we don't want people to yell at us. I'm only wearing the hijab so that no sister will yell at me or complain about me. I'm only doing these things for other people. Just like the Muslims of his time. Just like the Muslims of Isa alayhi salam's time. We have to change for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to recognize what? That people, if you want to be an activist, you want to be a guy who works for creating great policies and things like that. I'm a big fan of it. I'm a great fan of it. I would love it and I support it. If we can help Muslims anywhere in the world, I help for that inshallah. But when we're screaming and shouting in the day, where's the crying and the begging at nighttime? When we're screaming and shouting in the day, where's the crying and the begging at nighttime? No one's in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're just like the Yahud of his time. We're just like them. We go and do the same exact things. Where's that one tear, one crying? You know, when Sahaba radiallahu anhu were in one gathering, majority of them will be crying. It'd be very rare to not find a Sahabi crying. But when we're in our gatherings today, no one is crying, only one or two people are crying. The Prophet ﷺ said in a beautiful hadith, he says, مَنْ خَرَجَ مِنْ عَيْنِهِ دُمُوعَ وَإِنْ كَانَتْ مِثْلَ رَأْسِ الذُّبَابِ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ حَرَّمُهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى النَّارِ. صدق الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. Whoever can cry, Ibn Mas'ud says from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whoever can cry even a single tear, the size of the head of a fly, if anyone can cry that much, Allah Ta'ala will make him haram on the fire of Jahannam. Where are those people who are upset and frustrated about these things? You know, we don't have the soul anymore. That's why Isa's stories brought in the Quran, because he's for us, for our soul. So when now the Yahud, the Muslims of his time become disbelievers, because in their ummah, they have to follow the next prophet that comes. It's part of the rule. They don't want to follow the rule. So they say, how can we get rid of this guy? As fast as we can, how can we get rid of this guy? We want to get him out, finish him. So they go to the courts, they go to the king, and they try to get, they make up lies about him. Oh, he's trying to take your power. Oh, he's trying to take people away from your kingdom. Stuff like that. And then eventually the people come on yaqeen that they say, what? That we have to kill this man. So they bring him. And they think what? They bring up a man. They bring him up the steps. He's holding his cross. You know, about to be crucified. They brought him up to the crucifix. They brought him up to the stage where he's supposed to be crucified. They put him up there. All the people of his time are moved away. No one even knows what's happening. They're seeing it from a distance. They don't even know. They're just looking at a distance. All of his disciples ran away. It's in the Bible itself, right? That all of his disciples ran away. The Jewish people of his time who brought him up there are not even there. No one has seen the action. No one knows who actually got crucified up there. They don't know. And Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran that لَفِي شَكِّمْ مِنْ مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ إِلَّا تِبَعَ الظَّنِ. They don't know. They're all just following conjecture. They're all just assuming something happened. But رَفَعُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ. Allah Ta'ala says, I raised him to me. The night before, Isa brought his disciples. And he said, which one of you would like to be my companion in Jannah? He said, if you want to be my companion though, you have to take my position on the cross. He goes and tells him, and one boy would raise his hand every single time. Isa would look at his age and say, you're not ready for it. But every single time he said, oh Isa, I want to be your companion in Jannah. And so Isa said, fine. And so the final miracle of his time at that time was that the face of that boy was made to resemble the face of Isa. And Isa was risen up to heaven, and that boy was taken up to the cross, became shaheed. What happens is what? They want to kill Isa alayhi salam. Inna qatalna al-Masih Isa ibn Maryam Rasulullah. We want to kill the Messenger of Allah Isa alayhi salam. They said, we killed him. Allah Ta'ala slaps him in the face and tells him, you didn't kill him here and you didn't kill his message. He lived and his message still lived. In the ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we see here today. What I want everyone to remember inshaAllah Ta'ala is what? That we need to revive the soul of our ibadah. None of us are worshipping Allah the way he's supposed to be worshipped. And the second thing is what? When you hear Isa being slandered, or spoken bad about, or something is mentioned about him, you become frustrated. You should become upset. Because he's our Prophet. We have more right to him than anyone else in the dunya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq and hidayah to understand the true message of Isa alayhi salam, to allow us to become true Muslimin and worship Allah ta'ala solely. May Allah give us tawfiq inshaAllah ta'ala to raise with Nabi alayhi salam from the judgment. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For those who make some, I can do some inshaAllah.